Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise Kipper, here to guide you through, you know what we're doing here. We're doing another show. Right, dudes?
Yeah, it's that time of the week. It's time for another show.
It's time for Dudes Dish Disney!
And in this show, we're a little in the dark.
Well, you're usually in the dark, Carl. This should be a great show for you.
This show, I'm totally in the dark. So what's this Ryan, what's this show all about?
Yeah, so what we were talking about is, like, we talk about Disney, and I think when most people think about walking around the Disney parks, you immediately think about, like, Florida heat and Florida sunshine and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, we've been talking a lot about our shows and how many different times we bring up places to hide from the heat and stuff like that. So I started thinking to myself, we never really geared anything towards the evenings, right? We've done after hour shows, but that's a specific party ticket. What do you get to see? Whatever, right? I'm talking like normal hours after the sun goes down. What parts of Disney World are the coolest, right? Like what parts of Disney World do the dudes want to go check out when the sun goes down? You know, I don't care what theme park you're in. I don't care whether it's a Six Flags or it's a Universal or it's a Disney or whatever, right? Anytime you go, there's always that one roller coaster or that one section that's just kind of meh during the day, but then at night it just takes on a whole different level, right? And it becomes spectacular. That's the kind of stuff I want us to look at in today's show.
Cool. I like it. John, why don't we start it off? Why don't we start off in the Magic Kingdom, and why don't you share with us some of the things you notice at night that make it special?
So I'm going to start off right away. Just hanging on Main Street USA near the hub, to me, that just brings a whole different feeling. The moment it gets dark, the atmosphere, the energy, everything just changes there. It's an experience that you have to experience to really understand it. But it's that sense of excitement that everyone's there waiting for the fireworks. It's that excitement of, hey, we're here at Disney. All this stuff just happened. I just went on all these different rides, experienced all this, all that. But it's just a really great place to just kind of sit, take a moment. And it really changed. It's a really totally different experience than sitting during that same spot during the day. It's really hard to describe. I'm sure you guys can completely understand, but it's honestly a really cool place to be.
You have like your one and two favorite spots that you would do that in?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So again, for me in the hub, I want to be either near the partner statue. I know it's crowded and I know it's really, it can be a zoo up there, but it's a cool spot. Again, you're getting a great spot for the fireworks. And then the other one is just sitting over down towards the end of Main Street, kind of near the Emporium, is another area I really enjoy to be, because you get that view of the castle, you get the view of everything going on up and down Main Street, USA. It's simple, but a lot of people don't really think of those spots as kind of cool spots to be, because you're either coming and going, or you're in a rush to get somewhere else towards the end of the night, or you're done, you're exhausted, you want to get out of there. But just hanging around those two spots is really, for me, a peaceful experience, as crazy as it may sound.
Well, I think it's fair. I think for me on Main Street and at the hub, right, it's probably not the first place I thought of, but it definitely is a different experience. There's a different feel there at night, you know, even at the very end of the night when you're on your way out, right? Like walking through the Emporium and, you know, you're just kind of taking it all in as you're walking out the door. You stop in and get some ice cream, right? At the ice cream parlor on the corner, you stop in at the candy shop, you know, in the confectionery, and you get some stuff in there. Like that vibe at night with the crowds passing through, you do feel like you were just at a huge community event and everybody's leaving and heading home and, you know, whatever. They do a really good job on Main Street, the hub, all the way up to the castle, and the way they light the castle and all that, of just like setting a mood. It's really a mood feeling, right? That it's not very often that you walk into a place at Disney, you know, where you just feel a mood. But I think that's the way I would describe that feeling
to me. Yeah. So yeah, for me, the other two places for me that have that mood are for different reasons. You know, the lighting effects that Disney uses to light things, whether they're landscapes or trees, is impressive because it does change the mood in the park. I think one of the places they do this the best, if you ever walk through it with it empty, is Frontierland, because all of the lights that are there, they look like they're lanterns that might be kerosene lit or candle lit, and they flicker. As you walk through, every light in Frontierland flickers. There's no steady bulbs. Once you get past the Diamond Horseshoe, everything flickers. It's kind of neat, whether it's inside or outside. And then as you approach Thunder Mountain, riding Thunder Mountain at night is a totally different experience. The very first time I rode Thunder Mountain in 1981 was at night. I was new to the program, hadn't been in the program yet. And two girls who were there saying, "Hey, it's our night off. We're going into the park. Do you want to come?" I said, "I don't have a pass. I don't have a ticket." And they're like, "No, you're an employee now. Come on." And we went with them back as you could. It was perfectly fine too. On your day off or night off, go into the tunnel and pop up. And so I saw my first corridor without even being an employee technically, and popped up in Frontierland. And that was the first ride they took me on. So the first time I rode it was night. I was like so impressed with the special effects and everything going on. I said, "This is amazing." And we rode it a second time, and the second time we rode it, the fireworks were going off while we were on it. So Frontierland always kind of has that sentimental place in my heart for being at night for the experiences. The only, you know, non-artificial lights are the lights around the rims of the riverboat, and that goes up and down the rivers, and you kind of, it reflects off the water. When you see that, it looks so much prettier at night reflecting off the water than it does at day. So so I would say Frontierland is kind of a cool place at night.
You kind of stole my thunder with that last spot there, because I was going to say, just hanging out on the fence in Frontierland along the river, you know, again, it's another feeling, a vibe that you get, but you're sitting out there after the park has gone quiet, you know, and you get the reflection and you get the distant background noise of people screaming on the rides or whatever. Okay. It's just a cool, calm spot. You know, it's a good spot to hang out at and process the day, if you will.
Yeah. You know, if you haven't ridden Jungle Cruise at night too, that's a different experience.
Yeah.
It was quite a task to learn how to operate that at night versus the day. But Adventureland too, you walk through there and the tiki torches are lit up and you have flames, right? So again, very appropriate to the night. So those are the thing. I think Fantasyland too, yeah, it's lit up like a carnival and it's great for small kids. It definitely has that magical feeling at night with the lights versus the day. And there's thinner crowds in Fantasyland at night too. So it's, you know, of all the sections of the park, that seems to be the most empty because, you know, the little ones have gone home for the night.
Yeah. Tomorrowland as a whole kind of stinks, right, at night. As a whole. However, the People Mover is the exception. Being on the People Mover at night is a great spot too, because yes, I love that ride no matter what, right? But at night is really, I love trying to time it up to the fireworks, because I, you know, you're in that cart for 15 minutes or whatever, and you can see a bunch of it. But even when it's not, and you're just going around and seeing everything lit up and seeing the crowds and seeing the tired families walking and, you know, like the, again, the experience that you get of that. But one of the really cool things about People Mover at night is that, you know, I have a hard time with my eyes adjusting because I have light eyes. So they take a long time to adjust from the light to the dark. Right. And I'll go like basically just pitch black in my eyes when I'm in the tunnel of People Mover during the day. But since my eyes are already adjusted at night, when you go through and you go under Space Mountain, you can actually look up and see, you know, what's there. But if you go during the day, your eyes don't adjust and all you do is hear the tracks and the sound, but you can't really see what's up there. So it's another cool thing that, you know, it's just that little added difference at night that that changes that attraction.
Yeah, I will definitely say People Mover at night, it is a different experience. One of the last times I was down there, this is just before Tron had opened, and I got my first really good glimpse, because this is when they were in cast member previews, so you really couldn't get a good view. You couldn't get up there as much as you tried and begged to get up there. You couldn't, it just wasn't going to happen. But getting on the People Mover, you get great views, and just seeing the canopy with everything lit up. And again, they were running tests and everything, so you were seeing the trains run, all that. It really made the difference in that. And it was one of those really cool experiences that that ride can provide. Again, other than fireworks, seeing that, it's probably one of the cooler things, because again, it's that brand new, very modern, very sleek ride. It gives a totally different feel.
It's kind of funny because the more they think about it, like Tomorrowland at night, just walking around, it just kind of stinks, right? But Tomorrowland from the People Mover, the same area from above, is actually kind of cool at night. So it's kind of funny how that works out.
So moving along, let's talk about being at Epcot at night.
What I can remember about Epcot at night is I'm having some issues here. The easy one is Spaceship Earth, especially ever since they put the LEDs on it for the 50th, and I'm so happy that they're keeping them, because what they do with the lighting of Spaceship Earth is incredible. I don't think there's anything else like it at Disney. You know, I love seeing it from in the parks, from across, you know, the World Showcase Lagoon. You know, I like seeing it right up close next to it. I like seeing it from the Skyliner as I'm going away. Like, there's no bad angle of Spaceship Earth. And on top of that, to have it light up the way that it does, that's second level stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, those LEDs really do make it pop a lot more than it did before. It's cool. The patterns and the show and the design, it's so cool. It really is.
It used to be those green lasers up there, and the green lasers were really cool in the 80s when you were standing there and you can see them. But as we got used to like LEDs and things being more bright, you get away from it near the skyline and you're like, what is that that's projected up there right now? Like, what is that green light? Why is somebody drawing something with it? You know, it's just like weird. But the LEDs, again, it was awesome that they did that.
See, for me, it's World Showcase. Again, every pavilion, at nighttime, your lines of sight across the lagoon are limited.
That's not because it's nighttime. That's because you've been drinking for 12 hours.
But again, if you go in, the lighting at night is appropriately themed. I have this thing, I think, with flickering lanterns, because they do the same at the Canadian Pavilion, right? When you're down in the mine at night. But all of them are appropriate to the country and the period of the country that was at. There's not, you know, things aren't artificially lit. They're lit appropriately. And it brings more of the mystique. I think at night too, because things are darker, your other senses are heightened. So I think a lot of the background music comes through clearer, right? Or you maybe draws more attention to it, because you're visually not looking at a gazillion people. There's less to see. You're looking off at softer tones. It's not as busy for your eyes. So your state of hearing is enhanced, and you can hear the appropriate themed background music in every country. And to me, it just seems really immersed at night, with or without the 12th cocktail, Ryan.
or 13th or 14th. You know, the torches around the lake are nice touch, right? I'll be honest with you, they're really cool at night. It was really weird. I was on at Topolino's Terrace after a breakfast, after one of the like princess runs or the Run Disney events, and the torches were on in Epcot during the middle of the day. That was very strange to see, but at night it is really cool. It is really cool. And they do a lot of good stuff with the lighting everywhere. You know, it gets really dark in Future World or Celebration, whatever they call it now, right? But I'll always call it Future World. But it gets dark in Future World. There's not much going on over there. Pretty simple spotlighting on everything, you know, so not the attraction of the park for sure at night. But yeah, again, getting a festival drink and a festival food, and then putting it on top of a garbage can and looking back at Spaceship Earth, right? Like that's a national pastime at Epcot.
It's definitely one of those things. You got to do it. You really do. And it's just Epcot. That's the best way to describe it. That's Epcot.
Yeah.
Really even is.
Sober. Even sober.
And Hollywood Studios, we were all there recently at night.
As a whole, Hollywood Studios is one of my favorite parks at night, if not my favorite park at night. I love the way that they light up the Hollywood Tower of Terror. And I like the way that it'll change from season to season, right? And what they do with it from season to season. The projections on it are great. And you can see them from anywhere in the park mostly, you know, and even walking up for the park or coming up on the Friendship boats from Swan and Dolphin, right? So that I really enjoy. The lighting and the neon lighting on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway right down the center of Hollywood Boulevard is amazing. But let's be honest, it's all about Galaxy's Edge. Oh, yeah. Galaxy's Edge at night, you know, you're standing underneath the Millennium Falcon. You're looking up at the insane amount of detail that it is above it. And all you can see above you is black sky and stars, right? And then like wood carvings like that. In terms of feeling immersed in Galaxy's Edge, that's the most immersive time is at night when everything just kind of blends together with the stars. It makes you feel like, holy crap, and I'm in a Star Wars universe here.
The one thing to add with that too is the sound effects. Like the sound effects at night, again, it was mentioned with Epcot, but even here, the sounds and the music, it's accentuated at night. It really is, and it just makes the land really pop. Just hearing those sounds, just hearing when it sounds like the spaceships are pop, like landing or there's something's docking. It's a totally different feeling. It's incredible.
And again, they hit home with the lighting here. The lighting here is really perfect. You know, you go around certain corners and, you know, you're in this kind of drab planet and you go around a certain corner and it's a little darker there than it would be in, you know, other parts of Disney, right? Or you go into the Black Spire Outpost and it's not lit up like a shopping mall. It's lit up like a off planet outpost, you know, like, you know, they do a really good job of all of that stuff and they hide the lights really well and make them look like they're, you know, natural lights in that area where they can too. So overall, this is probably my second favorite. I think it's my favorite nighttime park, but this is probably my second favorite area at night.
What's your first favorite area at night, Ryan?
I think we would all agree on what our first favorite area at night is, and that's Pandora.
Yes.
I mean, Pandora is like, you go see it during the day and it's impressive. It's really impressive. You go see it at night and your socks are blown off. Like it is ridiculous. The neons that they do in there, the colors that they do in there, the way they make the trees and the plants and the shrubs look like they're coming to life, you know. Right.
Yeah.
The lighting is perfect on the Cliffs of Moher, like all of it.
You know, it's interesting that such attention and focus was done there because Animal Kingdom up until Pandora was a daytime park. Right. The focus was put the animals to bed, send the guests home, you know, at twilight, and that's it. And then this kind of came to life to extend those hours a little bit. It still isn't, you know, the park's not open the latest of them, but certainly that happened. And, you know, the animals are to bed, but Pandora's and is active and Asia's active. Again, the lighting that they've done, and there's so much detail in theming in Animal Kingdom, that even in the evening, the lighting looks appropriate to whatever area you're in. But yeah, Pandora's what everyone talks about, right? Of all the night times. I think for me, it's either Pandora's probably number one, and then the Magic Kingdom as a whole is number two, because it's, you know, just such a classic feeling of those experiences. So, you know, on a takeoff that, there's other activities that you can do at night, different places, in and outside the parks. You know, I thought for sure when you were talking about Hollywood Studios that Fantasia was going to be the number one reason for you to pick it at night.
Well, I was staying away from the shows because we've done shows, right? Because you could say that about all three of those parks, about Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Magic Kingdom, right? You could do that. So we've talked about those shows before. Right. But yes, Fantasmic for me is the best of the best. Yeah.
So getting back into the other activities you can do at night. For me, one of the most memorable experiences I had with my family recently at night was the Starlight Safari at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. And, you know, the lodge has its own savannas surrounding it. They're not the same savannas as Animal Kingdom. Sometimes people think they are, but we had accommodations there for three nights, and the first night we had dinner at the lodge, and then we did the Starlight Safari tour. It's an immersive adventure that takes you around this open-sided safari, but you're using night vision goggles. And it was the first time in my life I'd used those too. And yeah, you can see everything, dude. I mean,
did you feel like you were in the military?
I didn't. I felt like I was in safari, you know, somewhere in Africa looking at these. And the animals got relatively close to the vehicles because it was dark and they were less kind of threatened by them. But you really got, you could kind of hang over the edge of the Jeep and really get close and see them. Zebras, gazelles, ostriches, deer, all the different, you know, things that they had there was pretty cool that you could do this. And it was small. It was an intimate group, so it was quiet. In true Disney fashion, the naturalist was there telling you stuff that you never would think about or learn. But definitely a nighttime experience that you wouldn't even know existed unless you kind of hunted around for it. No pun intended. But there's other experiences like that around the parks and around the venues, that make it special. Is there other things at the hotels or Disney Springs that you think about at night as being kind of special evening experiences?
One thing I'll say with Disney Springs especially is at night, there's a lot of, I mean, during the day, there's even a lot of music, but at night, like that nightlife feel that really comes to fruition in how it really changes things around. Like it's still very family friendly, very meant for everybody, but it's definitely a different take on that. Like you can tell that there's more adults out at that point, again just being because it's the night, but it's a totally different feeling for Disney with the nightlife, the entertainment, all that. But it's still, like I mentioned, it's still that very family friendly feel of being at Disney and very comfortable.
I think the big thing you're missing at Disney Springs is Rainforest Cafe, though. I mean, that I am like anti Rainforest Cafe, with the exception of Disney Springs because of the volcano, right? I love sitting at Dockside Margaritas across the water with a margarita in my hand, watching the volcano just spew fire into the air. I think that's like when I'm with adults, especially. John, I think you've done this with me twice now. Right, where I'll go and I'll sit at Disney Springs and I'll literally just grab margaritas and just hang out for an hour and hey, I'm here, right? Like I'm on vacation. This is my way to enter that zone of being on vacation. So that for me is definitely up there for things to do at night. But Disney Springs does a really good job of like playing off that feeling of the original concept, of Pleasure Island, right? It was supposed to be adults only, but they had to make it kid friendly. But somehow it's morphed into this, like John said, there's definitely more adults there than kids, but it's still friendly enough for the whole family. They've done a really good job of that balance of being able to go and have a few drinks and hang out and just enjoy live music and whatever, you know, without feeling like it's going to get rowdy. So yeah, it's a cool, chill spot. It's busy, but it's also cool and chill at the same time.
You know, that's a great way to take on it. I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right, Ryan. And when I'm in Disney Springs in the evening and I want to get that chill mode, for me, I like it day or nighttime, but nighttime it's totally different. I really like the boathouse.
Yeah.
At night, because it's if you're sick of the atmosphere at the other Disney restaurants, because they're a bit too theme related. I mean, Boathouse is theme related too, but it's an upscale, more relaxed theme that's not overwhelming. You can say, oh man, they got a boat inside there and they got all these boats out back, but it's classier and more upscale than some of the themes. And at night it's more subdued. And again, you can sit out on the water. So for me, that's a really relaxing place that, you know, and there's a little bit of fun going on. You can watch the amphi cars going in and out at night, but it's still kind of a mellow, chill vacation vibe that's not as honky-tonk as some other parts of, you know, Disney Springs. So I think that's a good take. But can I share with you my favorite evening spot in all of Walt Disney World?
If I said no, would you do it anyway?
No.
Oh, then yes, you may. I'd like to.
When the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish that your feet were fireproof, under the boardwalk down by the sea is where I want to be.
No, you may not. Can I take it back? No, you may not.
Come on.
The boardwalk at night is what it's all about. I mean, it was built for that at night, right? And it really comes alive. It's not as alive even at sunset. It's, you know, after dinner, that place comes alive at Crescent Lake. And it just, you know, it's not just a promenade around the lake. It's got that atmosphere that you feel like you're in, you know, an old school Atlantic City. It's got enough activity to keep the kids going. It's got enough bars and restaurants to keep me going. It's got things like jelly rolls, which is fun. And it's a great night out. It's like Disney Springs light, you know, it's less crowds, less going on, but still you're sitting out by the water to relax. So you can, plenty of places where you can grab a drink and just go hang out. But enough things going on, things to look at, the people going by in the Surrey bikes, you know, the boardwalk games with kids going on, and enough bars right there to stop and do a little crawl right on the boardwalk. So I really like that. And, you know, the original concept for boardwalk was going to be much bigger. It was going to be closer to what Paradise Pier was in Disney's California. So this is all toned back, but I think that's a great, if you're staying in that vicinity or anywhere on the Skyliner, I think that's a great free first night activity.
So you may, it's funny that you bring that up. So the other night, my wife and I, we were actually talking about this and how we've got some free nights built into our trip, just because with the my son being a lot younger and all that, and we can't do the traditional go 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 of the normal trips that we usually do. I was discussing with her some of the other options, like that I'd like to do different things that we don't usually do, and this actually got brought up for this exact purpose that you've mentioned, why it's a little bit more calmer, a little more relaxed, nice kind of evening stroll, kind of to wind down the night, and how it's a perfect place for us. Again, we're staying right at Pop, so it's really quick and easy on the Skyliner. it really is the perfect way, especially not going all the way down to Disney Springs and dealing with the crazy crowds and all that. A lot quieter, a lot more relaxed, kind of really, like I mentioned, nice, easy way to wind down the night.
Easy to get a early dinner at there or at the Swan and Dolphin and then walk over because it's not as crowded as some of the other places. And if you're up for it, you make the entire trip around Crescent Lake, right? But certainly if you just wanted to hang out on the boardwalk side, a lot to do.
Yeah, you can grab a pizza, you can grab an ice cream, you know, you can grab a margarita. There's a lot of stuff that you can do over there. And frankly, they usually play the movie for Boardwalk right there out in the open on the grassy spot that's between the exit of the building and the boardwalk itself. And they're not monitoring. If you're not staying at the resort, you can go hang out in the grass there and watch the movie there too.
There you go. Anything else, gentlemen, that we've neglected so far in our favorite things to do at night at Walt Disney World?
There's a couple of resort spots that I think we should point out. One, I won't spend a lot of time on because we've talked about it and we've talked about it recently, which is Geyser Point. I think is a great place to go hang out at night for obvious wilderness feelings. The other one is one that I think we're going to be enjoying ourselves here pretty soon, and perhaps some listeners with us, which will be at Three Bridges at Coronado Springs. Three Bridges, if you're at Coronado, that's a good spot to go outside and hang out and have a drink and, you know, get the cool weather that happens in the evenings in Florida. Great spots to catch TV, sit on a comfortable couch, have a nice craft beer. I really enjoy that spot too. So, you know, those are certainly some of the cooler places, but, you know, pools at night at Disney are super cool too. Like if you're at the beach club or the yacht club, Storm Along Bay at night is a lot of fun. And a really cool, it really lit up pretty well. You know, so there's a lot more at night beyond just what we've talked about, but I think this gives people a taste of why you should stay at the parks, not just in the morning through the days, but also through the evenings.
And, you know, and that's why so many people go take a midnight day break and relax and then come back, because it is special to spend an evening in one of the parks and one of the venues. So don't miss out on it and cram your day so full that you're home by dinner time, right? Space out your day to make sure you're taking advantage of those parks at night. And with that, we'll wish you all a good day and a good night. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media, on Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney, on Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney, on Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation Planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.